Okay, so this is on safety and security and policy. So when you think of safety and security in your circles, in your ministry, tell me, what do you think of? What's important, you think?
Well, all the active shooter stuff going on.
Okay.
And in churches as well.
Okay, yep. The church thing has been going on
yeah.
a while now.
So.
Okay, we'll talk about that here towards the end. What else? Yes.
My thing was when we have women here in the church at night, alone
yep.
having a thing,
yep.
no men.
This is kingdom seekers. We don't care about the woman. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. She knows that.
Yeah,
she knows that.
Good night.
Couch is comfortable. Yes.
Having a clear plan in place for if it happens.
Right. No matter what we're talking about, actually.
Yeah.
And so you're getting there. Anybody else? What else is important that you think about outside of those when it comes to safety? Say again.
What did Mickey say? Having a what?
Having a plan in place.
Plan in place.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say with the kids, we always think about when they leave the room, making sure they're supervised because we don't know who's here on a Sunday morning.
That's right.
That's, from being in life issues for so many years, we really think about that.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
some bad
right.
people that...
Yep.
I'm glad they're here, but we got to watch our kids.
Absolutely. No, that's a really good point. What else?
In addition to having a plan, practicing the plan with the kids, if there's a fire, how to safely exit a building.
Good, good. You guys are getting some good answers here. We're going to touch on all of those, actually, in the next 45 minutes. But somebody look up Proverbs 21:31 for me. And let me ask you this while you're going there. Can incorruption come from corruption?
Incorruption?
Come from corruption. No.
Well, it's kind of what happens to us when you get saved.
That's true, but the Bible says, can a corrupt spring produce incorrupt water? It can't. So when we talk about safety and security, everything I heard you guys talk about, and they were all good, are they spiritual or physical that you guys mentioned? Physical. Because when we think safety and security, we think danger, disasters, weapons, fighting. Somebody trying to get in? Thanks, Tommy. That type of thing, physical things. And that is certainly something we have to pay attention to and be cognizant of, without a doubt. You don't want me in
there. Yeah, I'm the same way, Mark.
Did you see somebody's here for you?
I turn around.
I do not want to be responsible for broken cameras. Thank you. So anyway. Thank you. Should have left that locked. Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So much for security.
Right? Boy.
Somebody knocks. Oh, hello.
Right. What we just answered the safety and security question with were physical answers. Do we battle physical or do we battle spiritually?
Yes.
Spiritually. The physical, the Bible tells us, is a picture of the spiritual. The true is the spiritual. The physical is not. It's a broken down representation to illustrate a spiritual truth. So if we're going to deal with safety and security in a Bible-believing church in a Bible way, then we need to do it the Bible way, which is, it starts with spiritual. And by that means, who's got Proverbs 21:31?
I got it.
Okay, read it out.
It says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord.
It's not of training and of policy and of good Christians. Now, safety is of the Lord. Now, what's interesting, you look at the first part of that verse. A lot of times people don't understand the whole dichotomy there. But the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Okay, so what's that mean? Before we had mechanized armor and all this that we have today in the last 100 years, your cavalry was your biggest thing. You know, that and maybe catapults, but the catapults aren't as mobile as cavalry. So a horse that would be used in cavalry or in battle or in way back times, a war horse, they were bred and they were trained. Because a horse, when it sees danger and it hears stuff like that, is going to run away because they're smart. Okay? So they're going to leave. They have to be trained and prepared against the day of battle, which has noise and confusion, the Bible says. The day of battle is with noise and confusion. If you've ever been in a real battle, that's exactly what it is. It is chaotic and it is crazy and it's fearful. You can prepare all you want. And you should. You can train all you want, and absolutely should. But the Bible says in that verse, but safety is of the Lord, not that animal, not the training, not the preparation. Didn't say you shouldn't do that. It says your safety comes from God. And how many dozens of verses do we have about him running into the safety of his strong tower, of the hedge that Mitch referenced earlier today, that hedge of protection? That is where this comes from. And that is the most important thing to this. What's the number one weapon that you have as a Christian?
Prayer.
Prayer. Absolutely. A lot of times we'll say the Word of God, and I don't disagree with that, but the Word of God without prayer is ineffectual. It becomes a club. You got to have prayer. Prayer is your absolute best weapon. Prayer accomplishes what we can't do, right? So, if we're going to talk about safety and security here, that's where we start, okay? Excuse me. Come over to Proverbs chapter 6. There's a whole really cool layout here for your daily Bible reading, but we're not going to, that's not what I really want to show you. Although it's a part of it. Starting in verse 20, there's four verses we want to look at here. It's right after the passage there in Proverbs 6 where he talks about six things doth the Lord hate, ye seven are abomination unto him. And then immediately he goes into talking about the Word of God. Starting in verse 20 of the paragraph marker, he says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Now, verse 21 is a reference back to the priests and them getting dressed, getting prepared to minister with their garments and vestments and the ephod and the whole nine yards. Tying those things on, keeping it right where it needs to be. And there's some really cool stuff in that as well that I won't go into right now. But look at verse 22. And this is your basic, for your Bible sense, your basic layout for daily, getting into the Word daily. Verse 22, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. That's one. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. That's two. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Now, let me ask something. How many of you like to cook? I do too. I'm not that good, but I like to. What's the key to a really great meal?
Preparation.
The prep work. Same in sports. Same in really anything in life. We watch the game, okay, no matter what that game is, okay. But what makes that game good, what makes that game successful is all the prep work, the training, and everything they did the week before or the day before, whatever they've been doing, okay. That's, it pays off. You see the result here. Cause and effect, okay. Or cause and effect. But it's the prep. So, again, what does the Bible say right there? It says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. Okay, yeah, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God lead me all day. But what's the key to that? Well, he says, right after that, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. So when I go to sleep, man, I need to have the Word of God the last thing in my ears, in my head. Not, you know, whatever that movie was I was watching or reading or whatever. I tend to read. I like to read. But sometimes then all of a sudden I put my reading in, but I don't take the time to listen to God. So he can keep my mind and keep everything while my flesh is out of the way at more than any other time in my life. My flesh is out of my way when I'm asleep, right? Because the rest of the time, I'm a willing participant too often. At least when I'm asleep, I'm not. And God can minister to keep me, to keep my mind, keep my heart where it needs to be. But then that last thing he says, when thou wakest, it shall what? Talk with thee. Now, when I was in the military, Mitch, same for Mitch and anybody else that's been in the military, every morning when you're on active duty, you have what's called a morning muster. And that's where everybody gets together. You stand in formation, and whoever's in charge stands up in front. He does a roll call and then gives out the instructions for the day. You know what most of those instructions are. You know what your job is. You know what you're doing. But you also get very specific instruction for that day, for that mission, for that whatever you're doing that is pertinent to that day. Okay? That's the Word of God. Now, I go through Proverbs to do that. I've done that for several decades now. But you know what? There's always specific instruction for me, no matter how times I've read it, because every day is a different day. God is still perfect and I'm not. So that instruction is there for me. Now, why am I saying all that? Because the muster happens whether I'm there or not. The Bible tells me there in verse 22 that no matter what, when I awake, he's talking. So the question is, am I listening? Am I paying attention? He's got something to say. And God, unlike me, doesn't talk just to talk. I like to talk. I like to talk to people. I'll bring up anything and whatever you want, because I want to get that relationship and I want to talk. God doesn't work that way. He's got something to say that I need. Okay? That's called prep time. But it started the night before, putting that word in there so he could keep me while I was out of the way. And then here's the specifics, and now he can lead me throughout that day because of the prep time. Okay? So when we come in to minister, okay, at Mighty Warriors, where's your prep time? Does it start when you walk in the classroom? Does it start when you hit the lobby or the parking lot or the car? Well, I pray about it on the way in. That's my time to pray and get ready. No, it's not. You're already on mission. You're behind. You have not prepared. Does this make sense? This is where safety comes in. Safety is of the Lord. Should you prepare? Absolutely. That's what we're talking about. Should you train and do that? Absolutely. And we are going to do that, and you guys have been doing that. But that's not where safety comes from. Safety comes from you and I having my heart and mind tender enough that anytime he needs to, he can reach in and squeeze my heart and get my attention to say, Tommy, I want you to pay attention to this kid. He's having a rough time. Something that nobody else knows. We all know most of these kids, well, I don't know about our kids, but most kids today are in a broken home. Blended family. That sounds so much better than broken, right? You're talking about the exact same demographic group. But one just sounds nicer, right? We don't know what's going on there, but God does with these kids. And you can have verbal judo, and you can have all kinds of skills, but boy, when God, who knows everything, squeezes that heart, squeezes your mind, and says, hey, sister, watch out, this little girl's having a rough time. She needs to talk to her. Or, it's like, hey, Pat, you know, go talk to Jim, pray with him. Just presses something on you. I'll tell you, this is a true story. I've told everybody else this. I lost my mom 6 weeks ago today. And 2 weeks before that, we had men's Bible and breakfast. And I had just found out, you know, my mom's cancer really spread, and we had to put her in, had just put her in hospice. And I'm here, and I'm talking to guys, you know, I'm trying to minister. And I saw out of the corner of my eye, because I was on the far side, I saw Brian come in with somebody. I just noticed it, you know, I wouldn't really, but I noticed that. But I saw him kind of do a double take, and then come over to me and pull me aside, and he said, hey, what's wrong? Nobody else saw it. And it's a shepherd who knew the state of his flock. That's how we're supposed to be. Remember, it's pupil, peer, or parent and peer, right? Do I have that right order? Doesn't matter. And it really doesn't matter which of those. When the Holy Spirit of God says, hey, there's something wrong there. go attach yourself to that guy. And like Philip, he ran. I love that about Acts 8. He ran. He didn't walk. He didn't say, oh, are you sure? How am I supposed to do that? He just ran to do it. That's what we're talking about. Safety and security. These kids need a safe place. You know, everybody knows Quick Trip is a safe place. There's all kinds of safe places in our world today where you can go and you're safe. Well, you're not really safe, but it's cool what they do. I love what Quick Trip does. That is a really cool thing that they do. But we have kids that come in here who are going through terrible things during the week. And they think they know how to deal with it because they have to. But they're not equipped for that. You know, at what age group do you guys have? Third grade to fifth, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your emotions aren't anywhere, right? Your mindset isn't there. I mean, you haven't even hit puberty yet a lot of times, right? Some of them have, some haven't, but man, which only makes it worse if you hit puberty, right? So, I mean, the only person that knows is God. That safety and security, this needs to be a place where when you and I are ministering, and you in particular with these guys, when they come in, they feel safe and secure, just like we do, safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. Remember that old hymn? They come in and they feel safe and secure, because that's an opening for the gospel. That's an opening for us to minister to them if they're saved, maybe, but have no help at home. And we got a lot of those, don't we? You don't know. Or your co-worker or minister. This is what safety and security is really about. This ministry that I head, S2 Overwatch, it's called Overwatch because in a military, when you are executing a mission, okay, let's say they're going in to clear out some buildings or a village or whatnot. So this group goes in, and they got their formations, like Mitch was talking about, they've got their procedures, they've trained and trained and trained, they got good equipment, but there's a group of folks out there that you don't see that are watching. So if somebody tries to interfere with them executing their mission, they can deal with them so that they can keep doing the mission. That's what safety and security S2 is all about that I had. We're not overt. We're wearing uniforms and sidearms visible and all this kind of stuff. And we're not covert either. We're not a secret. We just don't need to be overt. We're there to ensure that you're able to execute the mission. And if there's an issue, then how do those guys coordinate? Well, it's like any good relationship. What's the key to a good relationship?
Communication.
Communication. Now, somewhere down the road, we're going to have radios in all the rooms. That's not going to be this week, but that is something we want to get done. That'll help with the expediency of communication. But the real key that I want to impress upon you guys is the old saying, if you see something, say something. If there's a question of any type, then go through the policies you have, which I know go through Mitch, who is a part of our team also, by the way, and let us deal with that. But don't hold that to yourself. Say, well, I prayed about it. Me and God got it. No. You're part of a body, right? You're not just the ear. You're not just the foot. We are a body. So if you see something or you got a bad vibe or just something up, say something and take it up, what we would call the chain of command. Take it up there so that we as a body can minister to that need, whatever that is. Because there's a lot of things. Come over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And, there's three major areas that we deal with in S2. Safety and security. The first, of course, is ministry. The various ministries that we have in the church. The missions, the operations we're watching out for, but also the testimony of this church. You know, it's one of those things, one bad apple, type of thing. One bad thing can tarnish and hinder the gospel and the effectiveness of this ministry. So that's a part of that. Now, here's what you probably don't know. Every single one of you are part of safety and security because you're a Christian and you're in ministry. Okay? The job is leadership. Regardless of your what Mitch was talking about, you know, you might have the same rank, but different job. We call that billets, different billets. But we all have the same job, and that is the ministry of reconciliation, right? We all have that. We are all to be leaders. We're left here on this earth instead of being taken up at salvation to do the job, right? Which he went over, that triangle, okay? With missions, missions, discipleship, evangelism. That's everybody's job, okay? So you are a part of safety and security. In fact, at some point, hopefully this year, we want to get all of you trained in CPR and first aid. It may not all happen till next year, but that is the plan. Because that's just a physical thing, but that's a basic thing. You say, well, yeah, okay, that's good, but you're talking about the spiritual stuff. Well, if we don't do something as simple as provide a Band-Aid, then we might have a upset parent or grandparent that all of a sudden wants to turn into a big thing and sue us because we didn't do the right thing, which is a liability issue. Why? Because we wrestle not with what? We don't wrestle with just a fit. We're wrestling with spiritual warfare. A.W. Tozier said this back in the 50s. 70 years later, it's more true now, I think, than ever. He said the problem with Christianity today is that Christians look at the world as their playground instead of acknowledging the fact that it's a battlefield. And it is. We're here waging spiritual warfare. We can't deal with it with physical means. We have to deal with spiritual means. So yes, we have policies and procedures and training. My guys, we continually train. But the real front line is the spiritual one, which means you're prepared and you're worshiping before you ever get in a car to come here or anywhere else to minister. Because if you don't, and the Holy Spirit's trying to lead, but you know, we're over here lollygagging and looking at whatever, you know, distracted by good things. For us, it'll be distracted by good things instead of paying attention to the Holy Spirit of God saying, hey, take a look, watch. Does that make sense? Okay. So our three areas that we deal with are ministries, worship, is the second one that has to do with gatherings, giving, of course, and making sure that gets where it needs to go, physically speaking. Also watching over our leaders. That's from Brian all the way down to somebody just helping in the kitchen or vacuuming the floor. People are doing a job. And then the third area is children. As Mitch talked about, this is a big area. Has a lot to do with what happens in terms of your church being effective, okay? So in that area, you know, you guys have all been through this, the screening, the background checks, all that kind of thing. The checking in and out of the kids, whatever system we happen to have at the time. With the system we have now, you guys know the computer doesn't always work, or the Wi-Fi doesn't always work, or whatever. So that at that point, we need to really be paying attention, okay? Because just like at home, you know, you come home, you kind of relax, we kind of let our guard down, right, a little bit. Sometimes we do it too much, and now we're taking our spouse for granted, or whatever the case may be. Happens right here in this family also. When I get here, I mean, I can been driving for 12, 14 hours, you know, I'm a truck driver. But man, when I drive in here and get out of the car and walk in, I start feeling refreshed and feeling good. I love being here ministering. But the other thing that happens is that sometimes, just like at home, I'm so at home, I let my guard down. Now, Acts chapter 20 kind of addresses some of the things that can happen when I do that. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And that's why we're here, right? To feed the church we got. We're trying to feed, to edify, to build up, to minister, to evangelize, those things. Just what he's talking about there in verse 28. Look at verse 29. For know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, we know that in today's world, our country, our culture, the paradigm that we live in is actively anti-Christian, is working against us, is looking for ways to destroy us. Okay? That's a fact. We've got to be careful. That outside, those grievous wolves from outside trying to get in here and just tear it up. All right? And we have a lot of, you know, a lot of ways to do that. The biggest way is the teaching, the preaching, the evangelism that we do helps to combat that, because we are the ones out there then dealing with people and talking, and hopefully your testimony, your life, is making a difference in somebody's life where they're looking at it. The other thing, though, we have places, and we remember a few years ago we had this where maybe LGBT groups start coming in, putting flags all over, putting the rainbow flags all over, which they did here. We never had this problem, but they were also going into churches and waiting till the service gets started, and then they start standing up and hollering and shouting things, okay, and then throwing their propaganda all over the place, okay, which brings a whole nother problem up. You want them out, but if you grab them and remove them, now there's a liability issue, and that becomes an entrance for the enemy if we're not careful. So how we do something is important, okay? Safety and security. So for you guys, in this instance, when people are coming in, we need to be, we need to be spiritually, like he says, watch thereunto. We need to watch what's happening, the people that are coming in. Look at the very next verse. He says, and also, I'm sorry, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples unto them. Now, perverse, we always think of something sexual, that type of thing. But perverse, it means a lot of things, but basically something that's not right. Okay, something that is abhorrent to, that is in induction is abhorrent to whatever it's being introduced into. And for us, that goes back to us being careful when we let our guard down. And all of a sudden, you know, some of us are older than Mitch and Jody. And so maybe somebody's like, you know, Mitch and Jody are great, but they're young. They just don't understand. We really should be doing it like this. Maybe that's even true, whatever it is you're thinking of. But that's not where that needs to be talked about. Because now you're sowing seeds of discord. And you know what the Bible says, how God feels about people sowing discord among the brethren. It ain't good. I'd rather be a Philistine looking for God, okay, than suffer that. Okay? So, again, that has to do with our preparation. Is my heart where it needs to be? Is my head where it needs to be before I leave to come here and minister? Am I prepared to minister because I've been worshiping? And if I'm not, then let's get there, right? Because that's where the safety comes from. Because safety is not just about locking doors and making sure the fire system is working and all that, although it is. Safety and security is about us as the body working effectively, according to the Word of God, recognizing where our safety and security truly comes from. Because if we don't operate from that, you can have all the policies and procedures you want. It's going to fall apart quick. It's just facts. Okay? The very last part here, pick it up in verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's what we're trying to do, right? Those last two verses. We want to build up. We want to edify. We want to you know, be effectually used, effectual, which starts with prayer. The most effective weapon you and I have is prayer. It might be the least one we use, but it is the most effective. It's the one that actually has me out of the way more than any other. When I teach, and I'm doing exactly, I'm still the fly in the ointment. I know this is true. I know what God wants is true. I know I'm the weak link. But when I'm praying, now, I can be in sin and praying, and so my prayers are ineffectual, but I'm only hurting me. Okay? And I'm the one with God that he and I can get that fixed without hurting a bunch of others. Prayer, man. Prayer, pray, pray, pray. How often are we supposed to pray? What's the Bible say? Without ceasing. So it's never really an issue of when should I pray. Is my prayer, like the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer. Like here he says, with tears. When's the last time you were moved to tears in prayer? I don't want to tell you how long for me. Mine's not as long, but mine's emotionally based with my mom and family. But so that's not quite fair. But, you know, are we moved to tears because we don't want to be a hindrance to the ministry? You know what the number one reason I wish the Lord would come back today? Yes, because I'm tired of dealing with this world. But honestly, the number one reason is because I'm tired of grieving God. I'm tired of me failing. I'm tired of this flesh. But that's my cross to bear. That's our cross to bear, right? Daily. Prayer is where those things happen. Anybody know, ever heard of a guy named, now I can't remember his name, the prayer guy that I love? I started to say David Brainerd, it's not David Brainerd.
George.
I apologize. There's a guy. Huh?
Whitfield.
No, not Whitfield, although this guy mentions him. Anyway, he wrote several books about prayer that are phenomenal. I'll remember, I'll get to you. But I remember him then going through and talking about like the Whitfields and people.
Oh, Bounds?
E.M. Bounds. Thank you. E.M. Bounds, not George. I'm thinking George Grayson, he said. Yeah. E.M. Bounds, man.
That's good there.
They're fantastic. I mean, this guy, you read a little bit and then you have to go get on your face and get right for a while before you can go on. But he talks about some of these guys, and I'll never forget the one. I forget who it was he was talking about. It might have been Whitfield. But he said, you know, there's two quotes that I just, that's letting me know we're down to 10 minutes. So, he said he stained his walls with the breath of his prayers every day for hours before he ever came out of his bedchamber. The help at the house wouldn't go in because they could hear him praying. And it was one of the housekeepers, whatever, that said that he stained the walls with the breath of his prayers. Like, man, I've never had anybody say that about me. That's because I've never spent hours like that. And the other one was, and this might have been, what's his name at the orphanages? Mueller. George Mueller. That's what I was thinking, George, when you said George, yeah. He said George Mueller would get up early to prayer in the morning and pray for hours. And if he got up to pray, but the street cleaners and people were already up and working, he felt guilty because they were doing their job before he got to his. I was like, oh, that hits me right here, man. Oh my gosh, you know. That's the kind of attitudes we're talking about. Now, again, here, we're talking about inheritance. You know, he says that inheritance, we have an inheritance. The question is, what are we doing with that inheritance? How are we reinvesting it? Okay? So, again, safety is about of the Lord, and it has to do with our relationship every day. That is the key to safety. Active shooter, I can tell you a bunch of things that would actually just confuse it more for you. Now, our guys are, we have a plan, several, but you can't, I can't give you a little class in 45 minutes and have you prepared for that. But you have a Savior that lives inside you that, you know, I'll have to step back because he's got it. That'll be the key, okay? The only things I will say about that, because I only want to talk about here in these last few minutes, about some of the physical things. If there is an active shooter, your job then will be to determine, and again, this is, you need to be talking to the Lord, okay, on this, seriously. You know, you guys are back in that backside. Now, if you hear it and you can tell it's up here in the lobby or something, then you need to get those kids and get out. This is the one time it would be permissible for you to grab a kid and haul them out. Okay, usually we don't want you to touch them, right, like that. But in that kind of case, get them and get out. Get down, and don't just get out then and wander around, because you will become a target. Get out that door, get down and over the hill, around down below the pond. There's a nice little area there in the trees, right up against the creek. And if people did come out, you get across that creek. All those kids can get across that creek. And these folks over here next door, they're gun owners and shooters. Yeah. And as soon as they, see, here's the thing with active shooters. They're actively shooting until somebody shoots back. Then they either take their own lives or run away. Or they get shot. But it's over really quick at that point. Over 90% of all active shooter mass shootings that we've had in this country in the last 40 years happen in gun-free zones. We are not a gun-free zone. Just FYI. So, if, however, all of a sudden you hear shooting right outside your door there, okay, in the E-wing, you lock that door and get away from the door window as quick as you can. Now, unfortunately, in your classroom, you can see almost everything from that door window. So you just got to get, because they'll try to shoot right through it. We hope to have, at some point here next year or so, something that not only locks the door, but either goes underneath. There's also an apparatus for up top. Some of them are complicated. I don't want complicated, because in the midst of a fear-driven thing, you want something quick and easy. But we'll hold that door as long as possible. It's a matter of do I flee? Do I hide? Or at some point, you know, might have to fight. We hope that never comes up, and I doubt that it would, because we are not a gun-free, okay? I doubt it would come to that for you guys, but you need to determine quickly. Is that out in the lobby? Okay, let's get these kids and get out of here quickly. Don't dilly-dally around. Don't take time trying to decide. Okay, we had an old saying in the Marine Corps, there's the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do, and doing nothing. Doing nothing is the worst thing you can do, or being caught up in decision making instead of doing something. Get moving. Okay, now I apologize for my lack of drawing skills, but this is the church, sort of. Not to scale, in case you were wondering. Okay, so this has to do, what if we have a tornado? Okay, so if we have a tornado, this is you guys here, right? Mighty warriors, mighty, mighty warriors, all right? So if we have a tornado, you are taking them and bringing your little charges into these two bathrooms, along with shield bearers. You're getting in these bathrooms, stuffing yourself, everybody in there, which they'll fit, it'll be tight, but you fit, and close those doors and pray. Okay, but that's where you go.
Okay.
All right.
I would have thought the baptistry area.
The baptistry, unfortunately, is made of fiberglass and is also elevated. What this means is it will fly really well with or without people in it. It might be better than nothing, but I would sure hate to do that, because to get there, you got to go along this outer wall to get there. And the outer wall is what you want to stay away from.
Because we had that life issues one night, and we all went to that hallway.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem with that hallway. Tornadoes come out of the southwest and go to the northeast. That's how they travel. okay? Yep. Which means they come like this. So what's the first thing they're going to hit here? That wall that you're against. You do not want to be there, because that wall will come apart in a heartbeat. And there's heavy stuff right outside of it that's going to get slammed into you. You do not want to be there. Okay? If you're in your house and you have a porcelain tub, or whatever those are made of now, that's a different story. But that's fiberglass. And it's elevated. Anything elevated goes airborne quick. So you don't want to do that. These guys here come into that little nursery, you know, with the cribs. Put all those babies and all those toddlers into those cribs and get in there. Everybody in there. And the little guys from here, you just cram them in. You know, they can crawl underneath and have an adventure, you know. But get in there. The only other place is the bathrooms here, which will hold over 100 people between the two of them. They'll be tight, but they'll get them in. Also Randy's office and the little storeroom. But not any of these classrooms. Definitely not the lobby. Because of glass. Even though it would be coming up and over, the whole thing that has to do with pressure and all the physics of it, you know, the number one thing that people get hurt from, like in explosions and things like that, which is what would happen, that glass would explode, is glass. It's dangerous. It's deadly. So you guys come out, take them into these bathrooms. Okay? That's your job. Fire. This is our fire plan, and I've had the fire marshal here out, Chief Jimmy, and we came up with this. So for you guys, if there's a fire, here's the lobby, here's the stage, here's Mighty Warriors. You're simply coming out of that room and hanging right. And here's the deal. If there's a fire, just get those kids and get out. Period. That is the only thing that you need to do. Get them, get out, get beyond the playground equipment. Get out of the way. Okay? Yes, sir.
What's the second means of egress?
If...
Through fire school we learned that.
Yeah. If there is a fire here, which would be super rare. Because number one, there's nothing really to burn right out here. Here where the bathroom for the baptistry is, right here, which would be a tertiary place to go if everything else was taken, so to speak, but it still wouldn't be good because it's so close to here. If there was a fire here, you probably still can get out here. If not, or if you feel endangered, then you're going to go this way. But here's the thing you got to pay attention to. Watch the ceilings. Now you know about this, okay, because that's where you're going to see the smoke. People die in fires not from the fire. They die from the smoke. And it will get you a lot faster than you think it will. And particularly kids, if they have asthma, any type of respiratory problem, they've had a cold, whatever, that smoke will get, and they got smaller lungs than you and I do.
Stay low, move fast.
That's it. I mean, if there's smoke everywhere, get on the floor, it's adventure time, and everybody crawl.
Break a window out.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because that's what people always think. Well, I got news for you. You're not going to break this window, more than likely. Now, if you really beat it, and use maybe the chair, you might be able to break this. But here's what you won't be able to do. You won't be able to get this completely clean to where you can get those kids out without slicing them up. By that time, you can already be out. Your first, secondary, or tertiary choice. Okay? Forget the windows, and people always think that. It is not like the movies. You cannot take your elbow and bust out anything on a car. I have a tool, it's with me in my bag, I carry it, that will break a window. But it's not like dink and it's all good.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, it's not like the movies. Forget the movies. Throwing a chair through a window looks good on the movies. 999 times out of 100,000, that chair is going to bounce off that window. This is just reality, okay? And even if you can break it, it's you got shards and everything else. Now, there is a way to do that, and then you have to clean off everything, but you are going to get cut. And with kids, they are going to get cut when you could have had them out. That's the reality. You've had fire training. Anything you disagree with there?
No. So that'd be the absolute last method.
Absolutely.
Ripping that curtain down to put over the seal.
Right.
To try and protect from.
And here's the thing. This thing will not rip down very easy. Okay. It's on a little thing. I mean, you could. I cut it off.
Absolute last method.
But he's right. But even with that, this is thin.
Right.
It's going to puncture. It's going to go through it in a heartbeat. It's already perforated. So. That's literally the absolute last thing you want to be thinking about. It's just not a good. I mean, I could shoot it, and I'll put holes in it, but it's probably not going to shatter. It's not going to fall down and out like in the movies. So.
And you'd have to kick it.
Which means, yeah, it just. Don't do that. Yes, ma'am.
We occasionally have fire drills.
We will have a fire drill and a tornado drill later this year.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
That would be good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And at that time, we'll actually have handouts and tell everybody in the sanctuary, okay, if you're in this section, you're going to be going here. If you're here, you're going to go there. And it'll be a voluntary thing after service. Hey, stay over. This is what we're going to do. We'd like to encourage you to stay. I'd like to combine it with a grilling and chilling thing out back afterwards. Personally, that's one of my. I'd like to kick that off too. But does that all make sense? I mean, now one thing that came up, and I'm glad it did. Somebody said, "Well, what if the fire's like right out here, like in the hall?" I said, "Well, number one, you're going to know about fire before that. But let's say somebody took a Molotov cocktail or just took something and just started a fire right here. Okay. Number one, if that happened, immediately grab those kids and just run through it. You'll be fine. Okay. It's not an inferno yet. But if you're in doubt, then you want to get back away, close the door, keep the door closed until somebody can get there. Or one of you as an adult, and this is what you should do. Number one, you as an adult, jump out, grab a fire extinguisher, and put the fire out. Now, how many of you know how to use a fire extinguisher?
What?
Okay, good. That's more than the other classes. I was the only one in the class. Oh, there was one other person. So yeah, so we're going to incorporate that into some training down the road, maybe the next workshop, because we also want to get you all trained in CPR and first aid.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
When was the last time they were inspected?
They are inspected regularly. We have a service.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then S2 checks them weekly. Like, if you watch, anytime if you see me shutting everything down, a lot of you have been here for that. If you watch, you'll see me when I go by. I'll open up every single one of those, and I'm looking to see, is it in the green, and the date. Every time. Yes, ma'am.
For the CPR training, would you or somebody who's certified just do it yourself, or would you pay somebody?
We'll probably pay somebody, simply because, I'm in my 60s, and I've been CPR qualified for most of my life, from being a lifeguard as a teenager on up, actually preteen on up. It has changed. More times than I can count.
Is it still 30 and 2?
No, now it's 50 and no
50
breaths.
And no breaths.
Yeah,
no.
50 and no breaths.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
Wow. Still to the BBs?
Big difference.
Yeah, right.
Now, alive.
Yeah.
Well, they say both.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of not like the movies, if you've had CPR training, you'll know this. You see in the movies, this is what you always see,
Ribs.
Absolutely. If you're not breaking ribs, you are not doing CPR. That's a fact. Because otherwise, you are not pumping air in and out of those lungs.
Even if you think you're not, if it's too late, keep going, because it'll still save someone's life.
Because you don't know.
No.
I mean, until you have equipment there to tell, you don't know.
You hear stories from paramedics all the time. The doctor says it's too late.
Well, paramedics and so forth, they have to keep going now by law.
It's too late, call it, and they've actually kept going and saved someone's life still.
Which is great, because once the doctor says, okay, that's it, then they can legally stop.
Yes.
But yeah.
I do think it would be wise to get somebody who does all ages, because when I first did it, they only did adults.
Yeah.
The second time, they did infants, too, and it's very different.
Most of the time nowadays, they will incorporate it all, but yeah, we would, because we're covering the gambit here. I mean, we have nursery, you know, babies. Yeah.
And both.
All the way up to, you know,
some of the old great
people 20 years older than Lisa and I. So, you know, which, by the way, those are the two age groups that will have the most health issues that we have to deal with here, which is the number one thing we'll have to deal with, is health issues. Say again?
Do we have defibrillators?
We do not. Something we have tried to get. They're not cheap.
No, they're not.
That's the big problem. To get a decent, not best, but a decent defibrillator is minimum $2,500.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can believe it.
And we really need two, because you would need two so that when we had trips, one would go with them, the other one would stay. So, I mean, I'd take one, but now we are going to be looking into, you know, there are a lot of companies and even police and fire who, over different time periods, get rid of their AEDs to get new ones. Those ones they're getting rid of usually are still work just fine. Mm-hmm. The other problem, though, is you want to make sure that you get something that works and is compatible with the county and the city that you live in. Otherwise, they have to take all that off and start over, which can definitely hamper, because they're not all the same. There's a lot of differences. But your point, Mickey, is really good, too, because you know, you do compressions on the chest with a baby, you'll kill them.
Right.
So, I mean, you'll just kill them. Don't ever do that. And it is different for not only different ages, but body types.
Yes.
You know, particularly with the younger ages. But, even, I mean, you're a small, slight, thin thing. And then here's Tommy. It's not going to be the same, okay?
I'll take the babies.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's going to take a whole lot different.
Hopefully there's another big, strong person here if that happens.
Yes. Well, and it really is. CPR is really awesome, but it is nothing like TV, and you have to do it. You should do it, but it's can be disturbing, because you are, you know, at best, if you're actually doing it but not cracking or breaking ribs, there's a lining between the ribs and your rib bones, and then when it separates, and I'm speaking from experience, it burns. You know what I'm talking about? It burns. It doesn't just hurt, it burns. And there's not a thing in the world you can do about it, except don't move, don't breathe. It's just not good. It's horrific. If they're older, ugh, because you're probably gonna puncture a lung too. You know, it's if you're dealing with some, you know, 80-year-old woman, you're doing compressions, you're trying to save her life, but her ribs are breaking for sure, because they're brittle. Yeah, and they're probably puncturing a lung, because I don't care, I mean, maybe if you've done it 100 times, but, you know, there's a place to put your hands, but everybody's different. So, you know, puncturing a lung is not just possible, it's probable when you're dealing with somebody older. Children, it's a little different, but still, that's a concern. So, I'm over time if you guys need to go, by the way. But we need to be in there here in 4 minutes, so I'm going to let you go.
Singing, I think.
Oh, they were supposed to start at 3:30, I thought.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe I'm in the wrong here. Okay, any other questions, comments, complaints are taken outside? Yes, sir.
Hey, I was wondering if we could pray real quick.
Oh, sure.
My daughter just went to the hospital. She's been texting me. They've got a donor, and they're taking them off life support. In 90 minutes, gone.
Absolutely.
Take it, and if it, you know, matches.
That's great. All right, yeah, let's pray. And what's her name?
Rachel.
And what's the organ?
It's the liver.
Liver. Okay, that's what I thought, but I thought, well, maybe it's kidney. I can't remember. Okay, well, yeah, definitely. Let's pray, guys. Okay. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your love and care for us and the instruction that you give us clearly in your word in ministry. Father, help us to be hearers and doers, and more than anything, obedient with humble hearts. Lord, we just want to lift up Rachel right now, and this quick turnaround, possible turnaround, Lord, we pray with her liver. I pray, Lord, that that would go smoothly and be effective, and that it would preserve life. Lord, we thank you for the modern medicines and abilities to do something like this. And Lord, we pray that people would get saved, that the gospel would have an entrance and have a stronghold in people's lives because of it. Just thank you so much for the fact that you did the ultimate for us, not only in dying, but more importantly in rising again, Lord, victorious over sin and death. Father, I pray that we would do the same daily, Lord, dying to ourselves, that you might live through us at your will and your leisure. Father, we just lift up all this training now, and thank you for Mitch and Jody and their dedication and their heart for this. Father, I pray that we would see much fruit. And Lord, I specifically would pray that you would bring in more workers, more people to minister here in this important, important ministry in your body. We thank you and praise you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Sorry to hold you off. No, I'm glad you shared that. That's biggie. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. We're going. Just two or two.
Hey,
I'm doing it right now because I won't remember it later. And it doesn't take a second. Hey, Jim, how do I turn this? Yeah.
So then it's on hold right now.
Okay.
So you've got to take it off of hold.
Okay.
Now you can.